Hi, I'm Claire Schuster, and I work with Social and Scientific Systems with the International Maternal Pediatric Adolescent AIDS Clinical Trials Group. And we use a lot of acronyms in our work. Sometimes we think it's like alphabet soup. IMPACT is the name of our network, and you'll see other acronyms throughout my presentation. And I want to thank all of you for joining us so late in the afternoon. And this is really a case study about how community members identified a health issue affecting their children and advocated for attention on this issue and eventually partnered with researchers to create a study addressing their concerns. And I'll start with a little background about our research network. IMPACT was formerly known as the Pediatric AIDS Clinical Trials Group, PACTG, up until last year. And their mission is to prevent and treat HIV in infants, children, adolescents, and pregnant women domestically and internationally. We're one of six HIV clinical trials networks funded by the National Institutes of Health. And the other networks, our sister networks, focus on treatment and prevention of HIV/AIDS in adults, vaccines, and microbicide research. We've become increasingly international in our work. We have 39 sites, including 26 international sites and 13 in the US. We're also going to be adding approximately 20 to 30 more sites later this month, mostly in the Americas region, in the US, Brazil, Argentina, and the Caribbean. All of our sites are required to have community advisory boards, and this is our main mechanism for bringing community input to the research process and also creating dialogue between the community and the researchers. And we call these CABs. And the CABs are a group of people from the local community who bring community concerns about the research to the research team and also teach members of the community about research. And as we become more and more international, the community role is critical to the research process. So who are our CAB members? For our network, primarily our CAB members are families living with and affected by HIV. We also have professionals from the community and other people who are knowledgeable and concerned about HIV and AIDS. We think of our community members as direct stakeholders and indirect stakeholders. And the direct stakeholders tend to be the family members, the people living with HIV, and our indirect stakeholders are those affected by HIV and AIDS, and also professionals in the community. And historically, our CABs have included primarily direct stakeholders and family members. Now, with some of our newer sites, we're seeing more of a mix of the indirect stakeholders and more of a general cross-section from the local communities. For example, in Zimbabwe, our CAB has family members, but it also has lawyers, police officers, local businessmen, local political and religious leaders as well. And these are important gatekeepers into those local communities, and so it's very important to have them involved in the research process. The IMPACT community involves community members at three levels. We have CABs at the local and site level, and each site CAB is asked to select representatives to serve on a regional CAB, or our CAB. And we've divided our regional CABs into the Africa, Asia, and Americas regions, and this makes it easier since they have common issues to discuss, and also with time zones and language, it helps to facilitate the communication. And each regional CAB then selects members who serve on a network-level community advisory board called the IMPACT CAB, or the ICAB, and these are the members who directly interact with the researchers who are designing our studies. The ICAB is currently undertaking a strategic planning process, and in December of 2006, they developed their strategic goal, which is to collaborate with researchers on behalf of the global community to achieve relevant, acceptable, and ethical research that focuses on the lives and issues of pregnant women, children, adolescents, and families infected with or affected by HIV/AIDS. Now, originally, community had a limited role in this research network, but that has now evolved to full participation on leadership and scientific committees, as well as our protocol teams. And community has a critical role on the teams, almost to provide the reality check to the researchers, so that they can tell the researchers how community will perceive the risks and benefits of proposed studies. They comment on the study design. They often look at things like number of study visits, number of blood draws, hours that the children would have to spend in the hospital, and is that something that families would really sign up for? What's expected of the participants in the study? They look at eligibility criteria and if that seems fair to community members. And they also carefully review the informed consent forms. And especially with our international sites, they have an opportunity to review the informed consent forms in their local language, and their feedback is very important. So now I'd like to start talking about our case study. And in the late 1990s and early 2000s, families started to notice psychiatric issues among their HIV-positive children. They saw issues such as severe depression, anxiety, learning disabilities, out of control and aggressive behavior, and substance abuse. And the families started talking to each other in the waiting rooms and realized that this was a common concern. And so they were curious to know whether the causes were neurological, mental, behavioral, environmental, due to the HIV infection, or the antiretroviral therapy itself. And they were hoping that answers to these questions would help improve the quality of life of their children. When they took their concerns to the doctors seemed to dismiss what the families were saying. And the families were met with responses such as, well, children with terminal and chronic illnesses have grown up being treated specially, and so they haven't learned to control their behaviors. And other doctors attributed the problems the families were reporting to parental depression or substance abuse. Another common reaction is, well, ADHD is so prevalent in society, this isn't really anything new. And they didn't ever expect the children to live this long. So the doctors really focused on keeping the children alive, and mental health almost seemed like a luxury because the child was still alive and breathing longer. The community members also took their concerns to the network investigators, who also initially dismissed what they were saying. The community was told there wasn't enough science to develop a study based on mental health issues. And the community took it upon themselves to try to develop an interactive meeting with different institutes within the National Institute of Health to try and bring together experts in the area of mental health, and trying to talk to the pharmaceuticals to see if anyone would be interested in developing a study. And again, they were met with resistance. And as the community was trying to organize this institute, they did develop key contacts within the National Institute of Mental Health. And they also learned that the institutes were talking about these issues, but did not involve community in these discussions. So in February 2002, for the first time, the network-level community group came up with their list of scientific priorities, and psychiatric issues ranked in the top three. In May 2002, they formally presented their priorities to the network leadership, including a timeline and a call for action. And they continued advocating for what they wanted to see, a study addressing these issues, and see it developed in a timely manner. After continued advocacy, they were able to arrange a dialogue with the network leadership and a working group that was focusing specifically on complications around living with HIV and also HIV-related treatments. And as part of the dialogue, they met with an investigator, Dr. Sharon Nachman, who's at SUNY Downstate, and she really embraced this issue and helped to shepherd it forward. And with her support, the study did move into development, and a collaboration was fostered with the National Institute of Mental Health, who contributed to the study design and also contributed funding to this effort. And the result was a study we know as IMPACT P1055, Psychiatric Comorbidity in Perinatally HIV-Infected Children and Adolescents. There was a community representative on the study team throughout the protocol development from the very early stages to the point where the study closed. And during study development, a long questionnaire was developed to assess different psychiatric issues, and the study team repeatedly questioned whether community members would actually sit through a two-hour interview. And they thought maybe the questionnaire was too long, and the community representative was very adamant in saying, we want this information, they'll come, and they did. The study opened in 2005. There were 582 participants enrolled at 29 sites across the United States. The study has produced two abstracts, one looking at pain prevalence in HIV-positive children and another looking at psychotropic drug therapy and psychiatric symptoms in HIV-positive children. And I wanted to note that the community has also advocated for the timely distribution of study results to participants. And they've helped to establish a policy where for every manuscript prepared and every poster that's presented at a conference, community members get a lay summary of the information that's being shared professionally. And within the first year of the program, we've had 42 lay summaries produced. And I think this year we've probably had at least that many. I know for the conference on retroviruses, the researchers prepared at least 20 for that one meeting. And community members do review each lay summary that is prepared before they are shared with the broader community. The case study also marks a new research partnership between NIH Institute, the NIAID, and NIMH, and future studies are planned to address this issue. The IMPACT community continues to develop its scientific priorities. In October, for the first time, the sites were involved with this process, and 20 sites from around the world met with their CABs and collected the local scientific priorities to share with the research network. And I think it was very interesting to see how many common priorities there were across the three regions. Our network level group, where we have representatives from the U.S., from Africa, and from Thailand, sat around in a room and prioritized the site priorities, and they were very interested to see that it didn't matter if you were in Thailand or Africa or in the U.S., many of the top priorities were the same. And this community research partnership ensures the development of studies that respond to global community scientific priorities. The P1055 example really marks the first time that the research reflected exactly what the community wanted to see. But since then, we've seen a much closer alignment in the research and the community scientific priorities. For example, based on the 2006 scientific priorities, we see quite a few studies that have been developed mirroring what the community has asked for. And these include interruption of transmission through breastfeeding, therapeutic HIV vaccines, long-term follow-up of HIV-positive children, mental health issues, malnutrition and antiretroviral therapy, complications of HIV disease like cholesterol or bone mineral density, and immune reconstitution inflammatory syndrome. And again, for all of these studies, we try whenever possible to have a community member sitting on the team so they can provide community feedback throughout the process. So our lessons learned, families and communities may be the first to notice health concerns and trends in their children, and hopefully now the investigators have learned to listen. There's the power of persistence and partnership. Community faced a lot of opposition initially when they tried to bring this concern to researchers and their physicians, but it eventually resulted in a very successful study. Strong allies are critical for moving the community agenda forward, and community representatives must be empowered to dialogue with researchers and leadership. Community voices can result in action and shape pediatric HIV/AIDS research, and community partnerships are essential for relevant, acceptable, and ethical research. And I'd like to thank my colleagues, our community leaders who were part of this process starting back in 2002, Dr. Sharon Nachman, who was the PI for this study, and my colleagues at the FXB Center in New Jersey, as well as colleagues from the Impact Operations Center and at our sites and communities around the world. And just an acknowledgement that this was supported by the National Institutes of Health, and the content is my opinion only and does not reflect officially on the National Institutes of Health. Thank you.